Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. Vern Northrup is a Fond du Lac band member who has spent the better portion of his professional and personal life outside. And like many of us, he has had his cell phone in his pocket. And so one day he began taking pictures, and now he's got an exhibit up at the Watermark Art Center. And as Maggie's giving him a call back, I'd encourage you to go to the Watermark and check out his work. We'll have Vern in just a minute. Good morning, Vern. Welcome back. You were not an exhibiting photographer your entire life. This is kind of newish for you. How did this endeavor start for you?
It started, just taking photos and putting them on Facebook, and that was in 2015. I've only been exhibiting since 2015. Post them on Facebook, and then the executive director at ACO in Duluth asked me if I would put together an exhibit, and they would help me have an exhibit there. And it was 40 photographs, and turned out really well. And then it was just kind of carried its way through. I've done a number of collaborations with national known artists like Jonathan Thunder, and there's several that I've had the great pleasure to collaborate with them on different themes, and I've had a number of solo shows.
No kidding. The first show you did was more focused on fire.
No, that was one a couple of years later. That one was actually, I was humbled and honored to help return fire to Stockton Island and the Apostle Chain. They were going to return the fire there to bring back the blueberries. And in my life experience as a firefighter, I was asked to come over and strike and be an elder to strike the first spark to return fire to that island to bring back the blueberries. And I was there taking photos, and I turned that into an exhibition. And what I had done was my artist talk was on the burn plan, on how we set up the burn and how we go through it, and the scientific aspects of it. And that was pretty well received.
You and I talked a little bit about that burning for the blueberries, I guess we could call it. Could you tell our listeners about how that started?
Well, originally the indigenous people on Turtle Island here had, they knew that fire was just another spirit, and they used it to shape their environment. And there was over 700 recorded uses that the indigenous people used it here on the Turtle Island. And the Ojibwe used fire for create wildlife openings in the forest. If you create an opening, it'll attract, different species, deer-like, those kind of things, and bear, moose because of the browse in there. So, and then, of course, for food, is at times it was recorded that they burned around the lakes just to add nutrients in the lakes. And there was recorded that, well, of course, we burned for blueberries. We did that quite successfully for thousands of years here. And fire is just another tool. It's just another spirit to us that, if we take care of it, it'll take care of us. That's how that came about.
What does that mean exactly to burn the land and allow for the blueberries to come back?
Well, blueberries are always fire dependent. And the wild blueberries here, they need about 90% of open sunlight. So what you're doing is when you're burning for them, where the plants are, and typically where the pine grows, you're going to find blueberries around there because they like the same types of soil. But we're not, there's swamps too, but we burn for them is what you're doing is you're knocking back the old decadent, non-producing stems, you're burning them, and then that'll spurt some new growth. And also, you're reducing the plant or the depth underneath them down to a lower level, so that spurs them too. For blueberries, you burn on a 5-year rotation. If you burn first year, the plants will come back. The second year, you'll have some blueberries. The third year, you'll have really good blueberries. And the fourth year, they start to decline. And then the fifth year, you hit them with fire again.
Huh.
And we did this all over. I worked for the BIA. We did this on all the reservations, burning for blueberries and bringing back some of those old stands of plants.
I'm already envisioning one of the pieces in your show, the blueberries, in the big, is it a birch bark basket?
That's the Scotchanoggin. That's my winnowing basket for Monoman. I use it for everything because they're so sturdy, and, you know, I use it for picking berries because they're so big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw the berries in there.
Tell us about the pieces in the show. How did you choose them, and why did you choose those pieces for the show?
Well, I wanted to, you know, this was in conjunction with the Duluth Art Institute, and I was talking to the director there, and she wanted to showcase the seasons, and that's, you know, that's what I did. But I also wanted to showcase our resilience and, you know, and our sustainability with that. So that's why I put a number of those pieces in there, you know, Monoman and birch bark and berries and that. But also my focus was on the plants, was all these spirits, all these plants all have a virtue that's, you know, meant to help us. And they're all either food or medicine or both. And I wanted to focus on that. And, you know, especially what we look at and just admire for their beauty are the flowers. But, you know, a lot of them are, like I said, are edible or, you know, medicines. And that's, you know, that's, I wanted to showcase that, you know, in our, and it's, that's just from around here, just around, you know, some of them are, a lot of these shots are just in my yard and along and then along the river, St. Louis River, Gichigami Zibi. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted to showcase like that. It's just, you just stop and take a look, and you'll see these things. You just take a moment.
You print on large-scale metal. Why do you choose that as far as a medium?
You know, when I'm working with my phone only has so many megapixels. You know, it only has 12, and it's not very much, but it's adequate for, you know, the shots that I like to take. It's but I like the feel of the aluminum, what it does to your photograph. It just makes it stand out. And also, I don't have the big expense of framing them. Yeah. Framing them costs, you know, a lot of time, more than what my processing is. Yeah, that's why I use that medium. It's, I'm going to go to another one. It's glass. And those, see how those come out. And also there's a way now that you can blow them up and you can make the actual photos tiles. So you can spread your photos out over a bigger area.
That's pretty cool. So you have a book that goes along with this particular show, the Akinamage. There's a lot of information in that book. How does that add to the experience for people?
Well, yeah, the book was in conjunction with the Duluth Art Institute, and we use in there the Ojibwe People's Dictionary, so we're all on the same page, on the same dialect, and the same, we all speak the same, of course. But again, the book was with conjunction with the director there, Christina Woods, and she wrote for a grant. I had the great honor to have an exhibit there at Duluth Art Institute in the George Morrison Gallery, and we wanted to record that. So we'd come up with this idea of the book and its photos and how we're going to present it. And we had this great cover design layout by Miss Louise Isham from Boys Fort, did that. And also the editing was done by Robin Washington and Christina, but we use this to, you know, just kind of help people think when they're looking at art. You know, there's more to it when you're looking at a piece of, you know, a photograph or something. There's more to it. And in our world, how Anishinaabe, the way we look at things and think of things, we know those things out there have a spirit, and how we treat them, you know, with reverence. And it just, it just fits so good in this book. It's just perfect.
Yeah. You're writing another book now, from what I understand.
Yes. Well, it's not really writing. I'm going to be doing the photography, and it's going to be on trees. And not treaties, trees. Mm-hmm. But take, yeah, that book is, it's going to be a bigger one than this one. And but I'm looking forward to getting it out probably by May or June.
That's Vern Northrup. You can check out his exhibit at the Watermark Art Center, and that's also where you can find his book, Akinamage. It's beautiful photography of the natural world around us. Thanks, Vern, for taking the time to snap those shots and share them with the world.
Well, thank you, and I'm humbled and honored to be over in that area. I'm the first artist to go in that gallery east of the Mississippi. I'm humbled and honored for that.
Hey.
And the lovely people that are there. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.